The following paid program is sponsored by Prairie Fire Communications. Opinions expressed do not necessarily represent those of staff and management of WRMN Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Freedom Rings. I'm your host, Kenneth John. With me is my excellent producer, Mike. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I was listening in as on your turn as I was coming to the station, and I noticed you had a new caller calling in.
Yeah.
Who's not from the area.
Yeah, right.
And what was interesting to me is that's what I get from people that come all the time that people move in Illinois. I can't believe how openly corrupt it is.
You guys are blatant about it, too.
Yeah. The Chicago way, blatantly corrupt.
Why not?
You got to pay this amount of money if you want to get this done. This is the way it works in Chicago.
Why hide it, huh? That's how we do it here, I tell you what.
How we do it here.
That's right, it's Chicago way.
God, that really is sad, isn't it, you know?
Right?
I don't think people in the Chicago area realize how different it works here compared to other, like he said, there's a little bit of shame involved in the other states. It's a little more, you know, under the table.
I don't know if it's more shame or something, but as a Chicagoan, you go to Pennsylvania or pick a city, it doesn't matter where it is in the world, but you go there and say, no, you guys, he's lying to you. He's lying because he should be blatant about it because we know how it works. We know how work is done. We know how things get done around the world, and this guy's lying to you. If he's not lying to you, then he's a saint. So I think we have a leg up on the world by actually just being blatant about
it. Just admitting it.
At least we're honest about it.
Oh, I hope it's not that bad. I would like to think that there's some honest areas of the world out there, or honest people.
Yeah, we're corrupt, but we're honestly corrupt.
Yeah. Well, that's in a sense why I have such as much disdain for Democrats in general than Republicans, mm-hmm. because they're honest socialists. They just say this the way it is. Republicans talk a good game,
yeah.
and then they go ahead and screw you anyway and raise the taxes. And So that's why they're the stupid party. All right. What do we got? Speaking of politics, in Wisconsin, it's really getting interesting in Wisconsin. Now there's a recall drive for 16 senators, 8 Republicans and 8 Democrats. All of those that who are state senators of Wisconsin could be recalled. There's an attempt to recall them.
Yeah.
Because of this situation going on.
Wow. Wow.
It's even more interesting politics than here in Illinois. That's really good stuff.
Yeah.
It should be very interesting to see how that all turns out.
Well,
I'm not sure what you have to do in Wisconsin to recall a candidate. I assume you get a petition signed, and then if there's enough petitions, you have a vote at the next I guess you'd have to set up a special election. And then I don't know what it is. If it's 2/3, it's probably at least 2/3, if not 3/4, to remove, I would think.
Have a special election to recall the senator? That's...
You can't do that in Illinois.
You just can't do that inside the Senate or the House?
We just passed something. Well, theoretically, you can do it in Illinois, but practically you can't. It's a bogus bill.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. What?
You can't just do that inside the government, like the Senate can't fire a senator, the House can't recall a senator.
Well, there is. I know in Congress they have a mechanism to expel.
Well, my question would, who would be the replacement?
But recall always refers to a popular...
A vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
A popular vote in the state, you know, of the state citizens. And I think it's usually at least 2/3, if not 3/4, to remove,
mm-hmm,
I think.
Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be the majority. That wouldn't make any sense. In Wisconsin, I assume there's petitions circulating right now. So I would guess they have to get a certain, you know, percentage of the voters out there to sign the petition to recall in order to get a vote. I'm not sure what that is, maybe 5, 10%. Who knows? But I don't want to ever hear a Democrat again say anything about the horrors of filibuster in the Senate. at least the Republicans were showing up and filibustering. Now Democrats aren't even showing up in Wisconsin as far as, you know, legislating. Huh. So, all right. What else we got? We have, interesting proposed law in Illinois. They call it the Romeo and Juliet law.
Oh, yeah?
And what that would do is, see, right now, if teens have consensual sex, the male, actually, it's the male.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the female. The guy can be put on a sex offender list.
Really?
Forever.
Really?
Permanently, right.
Two consenting 16-year-olds, and the man's going to get in trouble for having sex.
Right. Right. Well, that's the statutory rape.
If they're both underage?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I believe so.
And where's this happening?
I believe that's statutory. Now, I don't have that in front of me. I'm just going from past knowledge. I'm pretty darn sure. Yeah, it's statutory in the judicial system to allow that.
Well,
unfortunately.
It sounds to me like the state is taking the prosecution reins in this, and no one has pressed charges with him personally. The woman didn't claim rape. The parents didn't.
Oh, no. That's true. In this case, Shane didn't even know he was going to be charged until he was being held for something else, and the police questioned him and wanted to know. For some reason, they knew he had this relationship with this girl, and asked them, you know, how often they have consensual sex.
Sure.
And he didn't even know he was going to be charged on this until he went to court on this other charge. Which again is out. I mean, to me that speaks to it, the whole thing should have been thrown out for that reason. He wasn't given any Miranda warnings, evidently.
Well, let's go talk to my wife and see what she has to say about this.
She says, you know, this is we want to be a real family.
Well, of course.
Where my husband gets to go be with his children in a park. I mean, it is absurd. So I totally support this law. I understand that it's always going to be a little sloppy as far as your time periods are concerned.
Uh-huh, of course.
But, yeah, here it says, in Illinois, the law states the offender would have to be at least 17, the victim at least 13, with less than 5 years difference in order for this law to would take effect, that you would have a... And I don't know, again, it might not be automatic because it says there would be a way to get off the sex offender list. So there may be a certain bureaucratic process you have to go through, too.
No bureaucratic process. Come on. You know how long that takes. You know how biased that is.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, like, it might be a step in the right direction, at least. I mean, compared to what we have today, again, where somebody is labeled the rest of their lives as a sex offender, can't get out. This guy got dishonorably discharged from the Illinois National Guard. He can't own a home. His parents had to buy the home for them. It's a life ruiner. And I mean, and I understand the emotions behind it about the current law. And you know, you can come out with blatant cases where you want to, you know, never allow the offender even to see you know, the free world again.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all these other situations that are a lot less clear. And when you're talking about two 16-year-olds or a 17-year-old and a 16-year-old, I don't think there's any sex offending going on at all. That's just my opinion, and I don't think there should be any law on that. I think the consent. I guess I would drop consensual. I would drop it down at least to 16.
Mm-hmm.
And social conservatives out there, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating premarital sex. Not necessarily for anybody. I'm real conservative about that kind of stuff. But that's a value system, I think, that should be voluntary, you know, from person to person. That's not something that should ever be encapsulated into law. I don't think it's smart for two 16-year-olds to engage in premarital sex, but it happens.
You know it happens.
And I don't think they should be legally, you know, have to pay any legal price for that. That's ridiculous. That's something more for the families and the churches to sort out,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, that, enough of that. We're kind of running over on it, but it's an interesting topic. We're going to have a guest today. It's Alan Skillicorn. He is running for East Dundee trustee, and we will do that after we break for a few messages.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings, and I'd like to welcome to the program Alan Skillicorn. Alan, how you doing?
Good morning, Ken. Thanks for having me.
So you're running for East Dundee trustee. You're the head of the East Dundee Tea Party?
That's correct.
And I know you've been attending meetings for a long time in East Dundee. And
yeah.
I guess accurate to say you've been a thorn in the side of the Dundee officials?
To some degree, I don't try to be a thorn, but I just, I look around and I see things that aren't right. I see things like that the fiscal records aren't online. I see that the list of employees and salaries aren't online. You know, I see things like adding stoplight cameras, and tonight they'll be raising our property taxes by $500,000. I see that there's a problem in the area.
So, yeah, you mentioned about this property tax increase, and we've talked about this before. They kind of did this in the dead of night, well, with no notice at all?
Well, back in December, and the state law says that you have to increase the levy by the end of the fiscal end of the year in December. So it was kind of quiet. It wasn't announced on the website. It wasn't talked about at all. The newspaper didn't write about it. But all of a sudden, it was on the agenda, and they voted to raise the property tax 20% back in December. Now, what they plan to do is abate a small portion of that back. So tonight, they're either going to abate like $88,000 or $100,000 back. But basically, it still comes out to either just over $500,000 or like $500 and change.
So they're just they're just going to give a pittance back to make it look like they're responding to the taxpayers.
So even though we complain about the taxes going up, and now they're going to say, oh, we abated it back. But they never actually say, they look at the actual the numbers. When you look at our tax rates, I went back to 2006, and I'm seeing a significant increase every year in the actual rate that we pay. And now, obviously, it could grow by the rate of inflation. That's fine, but we're talking about significant, increases.
And don't they only have this power because they have home rule?
Well, that as I started attending meetings, just like about 3 years ago, I didn't know what home rule was, but I started attending the meetings and I started looking around and saying, "Hey, wait, our sales tax is higher than all the other communities in Carpentersville and Algonquin and even some parts of Hoffman Estates." And I started looking into it, and it's because we are a home rule community, and East Dundee tacks on another 1.5%. To sales tax, and then also, depending on where the business is located, it can be another 0.5% to 1%.
Well, I remember when they were trying to pass home rule, and back in the 90s, actually, some of us defeated it for a while. But at the time, the president of the board was Roger Ahrens, who owns the Piece of Cake Bakery. And I lived a block away from him. I talked to him all the time, and he was trying to assure me, and I was totally opposed to home rule. He was trying to assure me that, oh, we'll never raise taxes, really. This is just to have a little more local control. Mm-hmm. And I said, Roger, I believe you because I think you're an honest man. But the problem isn't you. It's a problem when you leave. The next guys out there are just going to go ahead and raise taxes willy-nilly on us. He goes, oh, no, they won't do that. Mark my words. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
I don't think they did raise taxes when under Roger. But
every year we've been raising property taxes, and, they already have gone, the sales tax is already very high. Come June 1st, there's a Target in Hoffman Estates that's going to be less than the Walmart in East Dundee. That's shocking that Cook County is going to have a lower tax rate than East Dundee.
Well, and he walked through East Dundee. I would not describe it as a thriving metropolis. There are for rent signs, quite a few places. You would think that they would be a little more helpful to local businessmen who want to start up shop in town. But
I've had that same discussion, and what's quoted to me is that, well, the consumers pay sales tax, not the retail places. You're laughing communicates to me that you understand it. I work in East Dundee, and I live in East Dundee, but I also have a very small business on the side, and it's my dream to expand it. Now, it's an industry that's very competitive in retail, and basically, if I'm going to put my business in a high sales tax city, I'm going to eat those costs. That's going to come out of my bottom line, because I'm going to have to compete with other places that are at lower sales taxes.
Well, you're going to get less people coming to your business.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm probably going to have to negotiate and match the price of somebody else, including the sales tax. And in other, like a retail establishment, there's going to be people that are going to go, hey, I'm going to go out the Randall Road because it's cheaper out there. And that's something that we do need to consider. We have a lot of vacant buildings, and I'm not against economic development, but there's a fine line between economic development and, giving cronies good deals. And we need small businesses to come in and inhabit these vacant buildings, or the entire town is going to be blighted.
Yeah, well, that's a well, you're mentioning a problem that's it's almost unresolvable, I think, right now, because of the fact that the courts have not ruled correctly on this. You've got, as you say, you've got municipalities offering sweetheart deals to the likes of Walmart coming into their village or whatever, and it becomes you know, every village competes with another village to give the big guys another sweetheart deal. Mm-hmm. When, as far as I'm concerned, it's all a violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution.
I mean, Illinois's TIF and BDD law is a little too broad, and it creates situations where there can be collusion and corruption and these sweetheart deals.
But yeah, it seems you really want to have economic development, make all the rules the same for everybody, mm-hmm. and keep the taxes low.
Sure. So there's another standpoint that since I'm in the idea of thinking small business, do I want to really locate in a community that is going, that I could have a potential competitor come in that's bigger and has more clout and be able to get, a $250,000 loan from the village and put me out of business? You know, that's going to be a deciding factor where I'm going to locate. I want a place that I can stay a long time, and it's going to be a level playing field.
Right, right. And people bemoan the fact of the loss of Main Street. And, yeah, when you have things like TIF districts developed for the likes of Walmart, Walmart's going to take all those mom-and-pop stores off of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for equal competition. If Walmart can compete on a level playing field with Main Street, fine.
Sure.
That's fine. But we ought not be giving them special deals in the process.
Sure.
So, okay, so we both agree that low taxes, or I would say no taxes, is a good thing. but you have the other side of saying, well, you have to pay for services.
Sure.
Do you have any ideas on how you can more efficiently provide services in East Dundee
sure.
at a lesser cost?
And one of my priorities is that we need to provide core services. You know, everyone in the community talks about, you know, we're wasting money on this, we're wasting money on that, and we're making too many special deals. But what do people really want in the town? And what they're communicating to me is they want core services. They want police protection. They want their roads maintained. They want their streets plowed. And everybody agrees that's what we want. Now, we can look at that in a bigger picture, and what I do is I look outwardly, and I start looking at other communities. You know, I look at over at Carpentersville, and they're starting to actually share services with our municipalities. I look at Hoffman Estates and Schaumburg doing that. And a great example, and all your listeners might be very interested in this, is Grays Lake, Illinois. It's a community of about 20,000 people, and they, over the past decade, they've saved about $20 million by their core services by teaming up with other municipalities. So, for some of their bookkeeping, they use another municipality to run the bookkeeping department. A lot of their snow plowing, they use another municipality and contract them to do the snow plowing, to the point that they're 20,000 people, but they only have 13 employees. Now, East Dundee is only 2,700 people, and we have more employees. So, and you can see, and it's not just, hey, we want to have jobs for people and such, but it's not just that. It's, you know, we're talking about public sector employees that have pensions and all that. So there's an additional cost.
Sure.
And the average public sector employee and police and firefighters, they risk their lives, and I'm not really too concerned about that. But they may get a generous salary, but they also get a pension. And, you know, the average salary in East Dundee is probably going to be about $40,000, where the average municipal worker is more than that plus a pension.
Right, right. Yeah, it's just not right, and it's gotten to the point where states and municipalities are going bankrupt because of this pension system.
Sure.
That has developed, and as you said, there's nobody in private industry anymore these days that gets anywhere near the kind of benefits that are accrued to public employee workers. And I would say another besides sharing services, that sounds like a good way to go. Also, what's wrong with privatization if it's done the right way? If it's not done as crony capitalism.
Right way, you know, part of me is concerned about what future boards might do to erode that. So, you know, right now I just think we need to have a discussion of new ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means, you know, contracting Dundee Township to contract from some of these services, you know, and we're talking about the, you know, employees that have to deal with the same rules, the same laws, the same codes. We don't have to deal with, you know, and we're not talking about going out to the lowest building. You know, I don't think the residents want, you know, Walmart, you know, handling the trash collection. But we can do common sense things to, you know, cut this budget down.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, Alan, back a long, long time ago when I was going to the University of Illinois, a bunch of us rented a house like our last year in college in Champaign. And so as far as garbage or refuse services are concerned, that wasn't an automatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
You were given a list of 13 contractors, and you got to choose who you wanted to pick up your trash. And you know what? It was the best trash removal I've ever had in my whole life.
Well, I bet you the free market worked.
It absolutely worked. And there's no reason it can't be done. And I understand your concerns about privatization. I have the same concerns as far as crony capitalism is concerned.
Yeah.
You know, and the whole good old boy network over and over again. So you have to have certain principles set in place on that, you know, there's true competitive bidding in the process. But it seems to me, as you say, yes, the free market does work. It works so much more efficiently than bureaucratic bumbling. So you've got, okay, so you're running for, excuse me, trustee of East Dundee. How many places are up for election and how many are running?
Yeah, there's actually three open seats, and all three incumbents are running, and there's three challengers running.
Ah, okay. So it's a big field.
Yes, it is a big field.
Do you have any, are there any debates or anything coming up?
There is a forum that's coming up next Tuesday the 15th. And at 7 p.m. at the Village Hall on East Dundee, all six candidates should be there. And with six candidates, I don't think we'll get a time into detailed policy decisions, but we can at least answer some questions and see if, you know, there are currently some incumbents that, you know, really aren't in touch with things and don't understand how TIF districts works and how business development districts work. And I don't know if that's going to come out, but you'll be able to get a good sense of who's got a good handle of how government runs and how things can be cleaned up.
So these other two challengers who are running, do you know where the position is on the taxing and the tax increase?
On the tax increase, I don't. And part of it is because people in the town aren't really talking about it because they don't know about it. You know, it wasn't really reported in newspapers. The only reason you know is if you're actually going to the meetings. And, you know, just like anything else, not a lot of residents go to the meetings.
No, very few. It's amazing. East Dundee, I think, is probably worse than, I don't know, when I used to go to meetings, you might have two visitors and the board, and that would be about it, you know, unless there was some real hot topic at the time. But
sure,
the problem is people are, they're trying to just scrape out a living these days,
yeah,
you know, yeah. And a lot of people just don't have the time to monitor what's going on in their own village, unfortunately. Sure. So,
and one of my ideas I hope would address that is that I'm a big fan of transparency. And one of the reasons I'm running is because, you know, the village didn't put their budgets online. The village didn't put the actual packets online. Well, I have been pushing for that for a long time, and at least just recently, last month, they put the packets on the website. So before the website, before the meeting, everyone can go to the website and grab the same packet that the trustees get. And they can actually know the details. They can read the text of the laws, and I hope that more of this is more transparency is going to come out through this process. And one of my first acts would be to do a transparency act once elected. But once people know the details and see where the problems are, or see where things are actually not a problem, that they'll be a little more involved, and they might come because it's not over their head. Then they can actually read the details.
Very good. All right, we're talking with Alan Skillicorn. He's a candidate for trustee East Dundee. The phone number here is 847-931-1410. That's 931-1410. Have any questions, comments, observations, give us a call, and we will be back after a few messages.
Mm-hmm. we reduce children to their lowest common denominator.
57% of us are functionally illiterate.
For us, excellence is a thing of the past.
We killed the teachers and students at Columbine.
We are all trained to follow orders good.
We have learned to be tolerant of all people, except whites, Christians, and males.
27% of us are put on drugs.
The rest of us take the illegal ones. 2/3 of us believe that from each according to his ability to each according to his need is part of the preamble to the U.S. Constitution.
7 out of 10 of us don't know either of the senators in our state.
We just placed 19th out of 21 countries on math scores, ahead of the Ivory Coast and Sri Lanka.
We elected
George W. Bush
as president
and re-elected him.
And 9 out of 10 of us are products of the public schools.
This message paid for by the Illinois Indoctrinators Association.
Hello friends, this is Kenneth John, and Freedom Rings need your help. I would like to get back to a two-hour show, but that costs money. You can help by contributing to the Heartland Institute, Illinois' own libertarian think tank, with a tax-deductible contribution. The Heartland Institute is an independent, nonprofit research organization in operation for 17 years. Joseph Bast, Heartland's president, is a frequent guest on this program. 90% of what you contribute to Heartland comes back to Freedom Rings to pay for this ad. By contributing $25 or more, you will receive monthly publications including School Reform News, Environment and Climate News, and The Heartlander, the Heartland Institute's monthly newsletter. So please call 312-377-4000 to contribute and be sure to mention Freedom Rings. That's 312-377-4000. Or you can contribute by credit card on the internet by going to Heartland's website at heartland.org. Again, remember to mention Freedom Rings, and thank you for your support.
Ever think that you should be getting more out of your computer? Maybe you need a go-to tech guy. A go-to tech guy is somebody who knows computers inside and out and can help you with yours. John Spazieri is a real go-to tech guy. John Spazieri is a 20-year tech veteran who can help you get more out of your computer. Need software installed and configured? Call John. Want to learn word processing or Excel spreadsheets? Call John. John Spazieri comes to your home, works with you one-on-one on your machine, and shows you step-by-step how to do things you've always wanted to do with your computer. Want to upgrade your computer? Call John. Need to build a wireless network? Call John. Call John Spazieri at area code 630-858-6933. That's 630-858-6933. John Spazieri. Make him your go-to tech guy.
All right, we are back with Freedom Rings. We're talking with Alan Skillicorn, a Tea Party organizer in East Dundee and running for East Dundee trustee. What do you say we go to the phones, Alan?
Great.
All right, we have Mike. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Ken. Hey, Alan. How you guys doing today?
Great.
Very good. I just got some questions for you. Alan, one of the reasons I didn't choose to run for election this cycle is because I'm sitting here looking at the mess that's coming, and quite frankly, I'm of the opinion that things are so far gone that you're going to get elected to office, and you're going to have to either make such draconian budget cuts to fix things, which means you're going to cut all the freebie services, all the entitlement programs, all the things that politicians have been handing out like cookies for years. And when you start taking away the after-school programs and the after-this programs and whatever that you have to cut to make the budget run, or start laying off public employees like firefighters and police officers because you simply can't pay them, or on the reverse side, you have to do a massive tax increase, lo and behold, comes the problem of the people are going to hold you responsible for that. And no matter what you do, you're not going to make somebody happy. So you're going to be a one-termer, and you're just going to get stuck with this mess. So I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Well, Mike, can I ask you a quick question? What are the services that you value and that you want and you're willing to pay for?
Well, basic services, firefighters, police, you know, public works, so the sewer and water runs. After that, you know, everything else needs to be scrapped. But the problem is the society is so built in the entitlement mentality. It's like out in Sycamore. You know, they just bought a train depot because it was a historic building. Well, now they're asking the police officers, firefighters, and public works personnel to take pay cuts because they can't pay to keep the lights on.
Sure.
And I'm sitting there, you know, been going to the meetings for 3+ years, you know, railing against this wasteful spending. And I, quite frankly, I didn't want to be sitting up there when this mess comes slamming into the train station, because you know the minute you go down and cut the after-school program for the kids, your meeting's going to fill up with 300 angry moms demanding to know why their services got cut. And you're going to have to sit there, and you're not going to be able to have a rational conversation with these people. They're going to say, I'm entitled, it was there, I want it, pay for it. And you're going to have to deal with that. Come the next election cycle, if you don't give them the candy they want, guess what? They're going to go out and vote for the guy that's promising them a free lunch, just like the 12 guys before you that didn't want to make the tough choices and tell people no.
Sure, and I understand it. And I really love your train station analogy there. It's a good one. And luckily, East Dundee doesn't have East Dundee doesn't have a lot of those extra issues, you know, entitlements and such. But what it does have is, you know, there are some relationships there that can be pared down. But we can save money through using other municipalities and sharing some services. You know, we're right at the Dundee Township offices are actually in East Dundee. And they do quite a bit of duplicated work. We can use some of that duplicated work to save some budget money. And what my standpoint is that I'm not a big fan of radically changing things. I don't want to see very quick changes. So what we want to do is a gradual choice of changes, because sometimes you change things for good or the better, but there's blowback or there's issues that come up. You know, look at the, you know, nationally, you see where, you know, that you're changing drastic things, and all these little things are blowing up because they weren't well thought out. If we actually identify a problem, and we change that one specific problem, instead of having this big, you know, a bulky program that they have additional problems, we can actually solve one small problem and then go on to the next. And, you know, gradual change to the better is what I'm focused on. And I'm also focused on core services. You know, the town needs to provide, you know, the basic services, roads and infrastructure, and that's what we should focus on. You know, instead, we spend a lot of time trying to save $5 or $12 here and there when we should be focusing on our big expenses, what line items within those big departments we can actually save money on, but also spend a lot of time on providing the infrastructure and the core services that the residents want, and spending less time on the crony capitalism, spending less time on the candy, as you say.
Right. Well, one thing you should look into, it's the town of Pritchard, Alabama, Pritchard. They're on the verge of filing for bankruptcy because the city just simply can't pay its bills. They haven't paid their pension payments to the retirees in over a year, and they're considering dissolving the city and just reverting back to county services and just literally dissolving the city of Pritchard, Alabama, because for years, you know, the city's been having money problems and blah, 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 but the point is they're just so far gone that there is no recovery, and I have a feeling that many communities are on the verge of that. So, you know, you're talking about making small adjustments. I compare that to the captain of the Titanic, you know, making a turn after he sees the iceberg. Well, the Titanic didn't have a big enough rudder, so that caused a problem. And we know how it ended up, but like I said, you know, I commend you for running, but I think you better make sure you got your chin strap on tight, because you're going to get a lot of flack for this.
Sure, and Mike, I thank you for that sentiment, and Pritchard is a good example, and I've read that case, and my desire is to change things before it gets that bad.
Okay, Mike, thanks for your call. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks. Go ahead, sir.
All right, next we have Mark. Hi, Mark.
Let's go to Mark. Here we go. All set.
How you doing, Ken? How you guys doing? How's the guest? I commend you, too, for running, and I think Mike hit it in the barrel. I think we're already so far gone, because, you know, you talk about the Walmart, which I've only been in like once or twice. The first time I went in, I thought I was in a different country, in a whole different world. So I kind of got out of there real quick, because I go, what the heck is going on in here? And the that's the problem with the whole country right now. When you're talking about entitlements, you have so many people taken from the pot that aren't putting in. And I used to love Dundee Theater. I don't know, maybe it was just old school, and I liked it. I think one of the last movies I saw was Basic Instinct. I don't know how long they've been closed, but it was one of my favorite theaters, just because it was just old school, old town. And I drove through there not too long ago, and I know they redid the roads, and it looks nice and everything, but I do see tons and tons of vacant buildings, and maybe they're all going to be bought and brought back into, the what it was before. But it's just that I think we're pretty much like Pritchard, he was talking about. I heard that same case, that they warned the people and said, if we don't stop doing this, that we're gonna go, we don't have any money. And that no one took any cuts, no one took anything, and they ended up being where they're at now. So I think there's a lot of places like that. I hope Dundee's not like that, but I'm just saying that I think you get too many people taking out and not putting in. I've said this before with Ken. That's the problem, I think, the whole entire United States. So that's going to be a big issue to come up. How are you going to pay for the people that aren't putting in and the people that are taking out? And I just thought I'd throw that out, and thanks, you guys, for letting me have the time.
Great. Thanks, Mark. Thanks for the comment. And, again, the Pritchard's a big deal, and my strategy is to take some recourse before it gets that bad. Luckily, East Dundee has been a great community for a long time. I mean, solid blue-collar, hard work, great work ethic, thrifty people, and the people are the example for the government.
Well, the people, generally, I think the people in Dundee are wonderful. Very friendly, hardworking people.
It's a great community. And the government in East Dundee can learn from the people. I mean, the people in East Dundee are, just like they're strapping their chin strap on and dealing with these tax increases. And, they are getting through with hard work, initiative, and thrift. And those are the values that I want to bring back to the village board.
Okay, we have Jeff. Hey, Jeff.
I commend you for trying that out. I hope it works for you.
Thank you.
I do have a couple of comments, though. You seem like you're a pretty smart, savvy guy. I have worked both for the federal government and the municipality, and there's a lot of waste in either one. And there's a lot of... you're talking about infrastructure, and I'll give one example, is roadside mowing. Why not hire that out for somebody else? Two things. One is, if you did even park mowing or city mowing, anything to do with grounds maintenance, should hire it out, let contractors deal with that. One thing is you're getting rid of all the overhead. You don't have to worry about buying all the equipment anymore. And two, you're not paying the pension. So there you go. That's a big, big one right itself. Everybody's going to be going after pensions. We got this bulk of people retiring in this history, never before in the history of this country. So, I guess, are you going to look at stuff like that, maybe in taking the money, maybe putting it towards more repair of some of our roads and our infrastructure, and maybe not building, more bridges or stuff like we need over the Fox River, because that's another one. I think there's a lot of people who want to get from point A to point B easier, and their version is spend millions of dollars on a bridge we don't need. What's your answer on that stuff?
Well, I actually do agree with you that we should be looking at some forms of outsourcing. You have a great example, because mowing the size of the roads is not a situation where we need a bonded, qualified municipal employee to do that. There's some things where, if we don't want to have like a private sector engineer, engineering our roads, or we don't want to go out to the lowest bidder for, clean water and things like that. But for a non-core service like mowing, that's a great example of areas that we can look at outsourcing that type of labor. And as long as it meets the, we have to take a look at a big picture of it and will this cost us less money? In some cases, I don't think mowing is one of them, but some cases, doing it ourselves might save us money. But when we look at the big picture of the equipment, the maintenance of the equipment and pensions, if it saves us money by outsourcing, that's something we should consider, especially for non-core services.
I'm thinking every nickel and dime that you can save. Now, people think I'm nuts when I say this, but having worked for the city in Naperville, there's waste everywhere. And there's a lot of people have to start doing more without. And having had to buy the materials and had to purchase the things and had to get the, you know, reliable personnel to go do what we got to get done, it's insane. And I think it grew so much in the 90s that I think we're getting caught, everybody's getting caught in the shorts. And, I mean, there's no self-responsibility whatsoever out there. And something's got to change as far as even saving money at the end of the year. If you had, in the past, extra money, it seemed they had to spend it because if they didn't, they wouldn't get that same amount next year, which to me makes no sense because all the rest of us in the world have to save money. To, you know, you put it in the bank and collect interest needed for a rainy day, something like what's going on now. A lot of these people just don't refuse, whether it's the system or what. But Mike and everybody who calls the station all the time with Ken come up with all these ideas, and it seems to me when the average guy like us come up with something, when somebody gets in office, they tend to forget, and I think the public is fed up with it, and that's what they want to see, a little bit more responsibility on their part. If we got to do it, they should do it. Right, Ken?
Right, Jeff.
All right, kids. You guys, good luck, sir. I wish you all the luck, and nice show again, Ken. Thanks.
Thanks for your call, Jeff. We will be back after we break for a few messages.
I consider trial by jury as the only anchor yet imagined by man by which a government can be held to the principles of its Constitution. So said Thomas Jefferson. What does this mean? Nothing less than that a juror has more power in a particular case than a judge, congressman, or president, and can judge the law. A juror has the right and power to nullify unjust law by voting not guilty, contrary to the jury instructions that many judges routinely give that jurors must apply the law as given by the judge. This is a very important check on the power of oppressive government. In the past, jury nullification has asserted its historical importance concerning fugitive slave laws of the 1850s, prohibition in the 1920s, and draft cases in the 1960s. Oppressive gun laws, tax laws, and drug laws are other instances where the people through its jury said no to government. For more information, call the Illinois Fully Informed Jury Association at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974.
You get what you pay for. Efficient, high-quality service from Perfect Painting and Decorating. In business under the same name since 1975, Perfect Painting and Decorating supplies superior service for both interior and exterior painting, decorative finishing, wallpapering, plastering, drywall and taping, and wood refinishing. For your decorating needs, Perfect Painting and Decorating can custom tint right on the job site. Imagine no interruptions, thorough preparation, professional tradesmen, top-of-the-line materials, meticulous cleanup. Get the job done right the first time. It may cost a bit more for quality, but it's worth it. For a free estimate, call Perfect Painting and Decorating at 847-426-1974. That's 847-426-1974. You'll be glad you did.
Are you politically homeless? Are you tired of being taxed and regulated by the Democrats? Or regulated and taxed by the Republicans? Would you like to pursue your own dreams without the interference of government? Well, then America's most successful upcoming party, the Libertarian Party, is your political home. The Fox Valley Libertarian Party is your local libertarian group working hard to restore the freedoms of our country once held dear. Yes, you can fight City Hall and win. We did. Find out how. With your help, we will make the 21st century the century of liberty for all. We hold monthly meetings at Diamond Jim's Gas Grill, 325 Meyer Avenue in East Dundee, at the corner of Meyer and Barrington Avenues, on the last Wednesday of every month at 7 p.m. Call 847-426-1974 for more information. That's 847-426-1974. Eternal vigilance is the price of liberty.
All All right, we are back with Alan. We have, and Mike, we have just like, oh, we have 2 minutes to music or 1 minute to music?
1 minute to music.
1 minute to music. All right, if people want to get involved in the campaign, how can they do it?
Yeah, well, my website is www.alanskillicorn.com, which is alanskillicorn.com. I've also, in the last 3 years, posted the last decade of financial information on the website www.grassrootsrevolution.us. And I firmly believe that we cannot improve on what we can't measure.
Terrific. Alan, thank you very much. Best of luck to you. And when is the election?
April 5th.
Best of luck to you. I'll be hopefully walking up and distributing some literature for you in the coming
thank
week
you for
or
your
two.
Time, Ken.
Alrighty. All right. On to the quotation of the week. This is from H.L. Mencken. The notion that a radical is one who hates his country is naive and usually idiotic. He is more likely one who likes his country more than the rest of us and is thus more disturbed than the rest when he sees it debauched. He is not a bad citizen turning to crime. He is a good citizen driven to despair.
This is the home of the most amazing show on the radio. The Radio Shopping Show.
WRMN, AM 1410, Elgin.